Having a fantabulous Monday afternoon. Man, so many things to get into, a lot of great music on the way, but today, as we begin, yes, Lord, Monday, February the 6th, it's a beautiful thing. Artist Spotlight, legendary, yes, I did say legendary, Mr. Lenny Williams, he has returned, new hit single, She Said, Oh. It's definitely a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing. So on behalf of myself, the Teddy Bear, and of course, The Zone, it is my pleasure to welcome to LOTL Radio, the legendary Mr. Lenny Williams. Brother Williams, how are you doing this afternoon or morning?
I'm doing good. I'm doing good. Yourself?
Oh, I'm doing wonderful. Thank you so much for joining us today. I know it's too early in the Bay Area, man. So thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule and joining us today.
Oh, you got me off the treadmill. That's cool. I said, I get a chance to get off early today. So you gave me a reprieve. Yes, sir. Yeah.
All right. Man, first and foremost, congratulations on the new single. And I must say, man, after several times listening to it, it's completely different than anything that I've heard you do in the last couple of years. It's very upbeat, very clubbish, so to speak. So was that your intention going into the studio to kind of give the listeners a different kind of feel, a different kind of sound from Lenny Williams?
Well, you know, it worked out that way, but, you know, it was really interesting. I was doing a show in Flint, Michigan, and, you know, usually after shows we go out and we sell CDs and, you know, meet people. And so a guy came up to me and he told me that he was a songwriter and he'd like to write some of us. You know, he had some songs that maybe I would be interested in. So he sent me a few songs. I was like, no, I like it. And then he said, I'm going to write something. And so he wrote this song and he sent it to me. I said, oh, I love that. As a matter of fact. And so just kind of did it. And then as we started doing it, I started realizing, wow, this is something totally different than I've done in quite a while. You know, up tempo, you know, light, you know, just, you know, talking about having fun and partying and things like that. And I tend to get, you know, a little serious, you know, about love and things and all the various things that you have in love, all the heartache and stuff like that. So, you know, it's just it's something different. It's, you know, it's 2017 and you know, we're trying stuff. Yeah. So it's a matter of fact, the guy, his name is Asimio. It turned out that he was one of the co-writers with Larry Blackwood and them on the song Candy. For a cameo, and he's been writing for a lot of different people, and so you know, we're kind of teaming up and we're going to do some writing together, but this is our first entree here. Yeah. Hello? Are you there?
There we go. I got you. Okay. Now, what I was saying was, you know, for a lot of us, change can be very challenging. We become accustomed. Like, I always use that as like Linus's blanket. We become comfy and cozy with a certain way of life, and we've always become comfy and cozy with the Lenny Williams sound. And this is completely different, which is a great thing for you. And I've always said this to quite a few colleagues. When you released that album, Still in the Game, to me personally, that album, that entire album was incredible. Do you feel since, as far as radio stations have changed, the industry has changed so dramatically that it did not get the necessary airplay that it richly deserved?
Yeah, you know, I mean, you've got a lot of young guys in the, you know, the seat of power now that, you know, the control radio playlist, and a lot of them may not be, you know, totally familiar with me, or I may not have, you know, any, you know, chips to, you know, to cash in with them, so to speak. And then also, you know, just radio has changed so much in terms of the cost of, you know, of making it happen, you know, that, you know, all those factors combined probably, you know, contributed to the fact that it just didn't get, you know, all of the attention that I feel that it should have. But I'm saying, hey, you know, I might be like some of those great artists, you know, that, you know, after they died, you know, things just start selling. So I make sure that I got all the business taken care of. So the wife and the kids and the grandkids and the great-grandkids, they say, oh, Grandpa, should he hook this up? And he might be dumb, but, you know, just... You know, everybody's doing good, be able to go to school and, you know, live a decent life, you know. So, you know, just making sure that I put the art out there, and then, you know, whatever happens, you know, I'm willing to accept it.
Well, let me ask you, what is the difference now in your life as far as you can, is looking back at your career? What do you see the positives from being an independent artist then at the time when you were signed to a major record label?
Well, I guess the positives are that you don't have to sell as much to make a profit, and then you just have so much more autonomy, you know, and so I think that those are the positives, and you know, there are some negatives. I mean, the album that you're talking about, Still in the Game, one of my friends helped me do one of the songs on there. And he's also on the Grammy committee. So he said, let's submit this for a Grammy, right? And so then I did it. And he said, I need a copy of the album. So I sent him a copy of the CD. And then he called me back and said, Lenny, you forgot to put my name on there. And I was like, oh, my God, you know. So I said, well, you know, there's a value in record labels sometimes because they have, you know, someone over the art department and somebody who checks all of the, you know, everything to make sure that, you know, all the people get credit and whatever, you know. So I mean, when you have your own label, you know, I mean, I'm the guy that you know, that receives the records when they come from the plant. You know, I gotta put them in the garage. I'm the guy that, you know, when somebody wants them, I gotta send them out and label them and everything. And who's in charge, you know, in charge of the art and promotion and whatever. So you know, there. I think there's more. I think the negatives and the positives kind of, you know, equal and balance each other out, but there are definitely positives and negatives on both sides of the coin.
What about having the level of such creative control over your music? Because when you're signed to a major label, they have a tendency where they want to take that control from the artist and try to mold them in what they envision instead of the artist being true to who they are and what they represent. As a musician, so how does it feel to have that kind of level of control over your career?
Well, that's really good to have that creative control. But then on the flip side, you know, sometimes, you know, you may need, you know, that devil's advocate or that other person's point of view. So I think that when you have that kind of power to have, you know, total control over your project and what you're doing, you have to always, you know, kind of be, you know, consider, you know, another person's view, you know, how does this sound? You know, you got to have somebody to ask, you know, that, and somebody's going to be, you know, give you the truthful answers, you know, and things of that nature. So I think with that incredible power, which I like, and I think most artists would love to have, you have to also, you know, have people around that will, you know, give, you know, will give you an honest, you know, opinion of what you have.
Right, absolutely. Every great artist has a muse that inspires them to take them to another level. For you, you and your wife have a very special loving and respectful relationship. How has she enhanced Lenny Williams' brand, and as far as giving you that inspiration to take your music to another level?
Because she keep on wanting stuff, you know.
There you
I want
go,
a new house. I want a new car. I want to go here. I want to go. And so then I got to be able to do that, you know. And then I think that she deserves that because she's been with me a long time. You know, we have a beautiful daughter. She's helped me raise, you know, my, you know, two of my other daughters, you know, you know, they didn't live with us, but they were, you know, over the house every day. And I was, every day I'm, you know, was going, you know, picking them up and taking the dance lessons and, you know, sort of make sacrifices. Like, hey, we can't get this right now because they need that. And so forth and so on. So I think, you know, just the mere fact that, you know, she's been there and supported me, through all the changes and things that it kind of spurs me on to be creative and even to write songs about that, we haven't, we're still together, but sometimes I think, well, what would happen if we did break up, how my life would be. I try to envision that, and so then I may write a song, like where did our love go, and it's like, well, no, me and Debbie didn't break up, but I just kind of like was around and just kind of thinking, what would it be like, I mean, how would I feel, and things of that nature. So, she's been an integral part of my life, and and she critiques my music, and it's kind of interesting, she doesn't really, really listen to everything, just all the time. But, when I, get it finished and I want to play it for her, I can just kind of read her. And then she's very open and honest with me, sometimes, brutally honest, I don't like that at all. And I'm like, okay, I shouldn't have asked you anything. But, definitely her opinion matters. Yeah, so definitely right. She's been an integral part of what I do.
The journey has been incredible, man. You look back where you started and where you're at today. What has you most proud of your journey through music and just journey through life in general?
Well, I guess my journey in life, about the fact that I've got my kids, they all went to college and everything, and they're all doing good, and, nobody's on drugs or nobody's in jail or anything like that, nobody's in abusive relationships, so that makes me really, really proud. And then as far as my music, I think, that the mere fact that this is the music business and the majority of my decisions in the music have, definitely been, business oriented. So, I'm at a point in my life where, if the phone were to stop ringing, I could still survive on the same level that I'm accustomed to. And so I think that a lot of artists need to really, really, they concentrate on the artistic side, but they have to realize that this is the music business. And, this is what I try to enlighten, young people about, focus on the business side of it too. So I think that those things right there are, things that I'm, really most proud of.
Right. Every time I turn around, you're gone. I mean, you're from one end of the spectrum to another. Perfect example, family. On February the 11th, the 6th annual Augusta Blues Festival with Sir Charles, of course, the one and only legendary Lenny Williams will be there. The doors open up at 7 p.m. Sorry, the doors open up at 6. The show starts at 7 p.m. That is located at the Augusta, Georgia, James Brown Arena. And remember to get your tickets at www.AugustaEntertainmentComplex.com. And I've also been told that pretty soon you'll be leaving the country, man. What will that be? I know you have to be excited. What will that be like for you?
Yeah, we're going to go to South Africa with the Whispers and the Stylistics, so we're really excited about that. And, so I've been to South Africa once before, Nelson and Winnie Mandela's daughter, Zinzi, put on a jazz festival and had me come over, maybe 10 years ago, 10, 12 years ago. So great time over there. So, just going to be exciting, go to the motherland and then also, be performing with the Whispers and with the Stylistics, two, stellar groups and, historic R&B legend groups. And so I'm excited about it and looking forward to it. And, humbled by the fact that there are people, that my music has touched people, across the continents, so that's really exciting.
You know what I find so amazing now in today's music, like for artists like yourself, for a time where you had to go from city to city to promote your music. And now with the advent of social media, you can sit in the comfort of your home or in the studio and discuss and promote your music internationally. How has the social media affected your career as far as being able to reach more people, larger audience of people?
Yeah, I mean, it's phenomenal, you know, what's going on, you know, that you can go, on iTunes or, I mean, you can go on Facebook and Snapchat and all the various, modalities and to reach people. So, I do it, my wife does it, my kids do it, people that work for me that do it, and it's just amazing, and you can just kind of see, almost immediate results, I'm delving into it, I haven't been totally baptized, one of my friends, well, my music director also plays with Jody Wadley, so they're over in Japan, but before he left, he'd say, download this app and you can call me for free. I was like, oh, really? We were over in Germany and he had some type of thing, showed me how on Messenger I could call home for free. And so, hanging around with young people and just getting inspired and being led into, this whole social media, thing is, just really, really exciting. I'm just kind of learning and being a willing learner, and so it's just phenomenal.
You know what? I guess for me, we're both 21, and I can say this to you. I must say, it took me some time to adapt to no longer having accessibility to record stores. I grew up with that. Mm-hmm. Going to the record stores, buying wax 45s, 33s. 75s, they would have a artist come into the store and have that kind of meet and greet and that interaction.
Yeah, in-store appearances, right, yeah.
Yes, mm-hmm. And I thoroughly miss that. Like you said earlier, there's some good and bad with everything. I mean, at any time, do you ever kind of miss to have that kind of personal interaction with the record buyer?
Yeah, most definitely, just going to, the one-stops and the in-stores and things like that, So I think now, the replacement for that is that artists, some artists, come out after their shows and they kind of intermingle with the people. And I imagine that on, some artists like Beyonce, that'd be totally impossible to do. But I know that sometimes, she'll go to some of the huge record stores that they have in New York. I don't know if they still have them, but I remember, they would have those big record signings and things like that. I guess they can just put a pop-up up if they want to and, go do that. It's just kind of interesting, that the business is changing and you have nostalgic feelings about, some of the things that you used to do, like in stores and things like that, or just going to a record store and browsing around. But I guess you just have to give it the time, so you got to keep on moving or you get left behind.
Yeah, evidently. And speaking of changing with the times, you've blessed us with a slice of cheesecake. When can we expect a full course meal, a la an album or an EP?
Well, we're working on that now, so I'm working so much that it's like I'm finding a little difficult to get into the studio, so I'm going to have to take some time off and just tell agents that I'm not going to work for a month or so, and then just kind of delve into recording. I was just down in Los Angeles up with the 1500 studio over there, where they do, everybody from... they do Beyonce. I was then looking at all the records on the wall, Beyonce and Rihanna and The Game and Adele and Bruno Mars, just go on and on and on. And so I was over there looking at some material last week. Actually, this week, last week, you're right. I think it was there Thursday. And so looking at the material. So I'm just definitely, trying to, pull myself together and get it done, but I don't want to rush it, man, and I don't want to take too long either, so just finding that perfect amount of time to put into the project so that that what I present is going to be something that's worth the public parting with their precious money to purchase it.
Absolutely. Well, when it's ready, even if it's still somewhat soft like grandma's cookies, we will definitely
most definitely.
Well, Brother Williams, if you could do us the honor and debut the new single, the LOTO family would definitely love it.
Yes. Right now, we're going to present to you the brand new single from Lenny Williams, 2017, She Said Oh.
You heard it first. You're in the zone of LOTO Radio. Website. That's at www.lennywilliams.com. And remember, family, February the 11th, just around the corner, he will be appearing at the 6th annual Augusta Blues Festival with Sir Charles. That's Augusta, Georgia, at the James Brown Arena. Doors open up at 6 p.m. The show starts at 7. You can purchase the tickets at www.augustaentertainmentcomplex.com. Brother Williams, it is always an honor and a privilege for me to have you on your show, have you on the show. Remember, this is always your home, whatever you need. We are here to support you. We love what you're doing, man, and we cannot wait till we get our hands on that album so we can debut it here first.
I appreciate you, appreciate what you do, and we thank you so much for, you know, professionalism. It's always easy to do an interview when you're doing it with somebody that knows how to do it. Yeah, so we definitely want to give you kudos for that, and thank you for your support. And to the fans, I want to let them know that I appreciate everything that they've done, coming out to the shows, buying the records, the CDs, calling in, requesting the music, and I'm humbled by it, and I never will, you know, let them down.
Absolutely, man. In the words of the Pharaoh, so it is written, so it shall be done. Lord have mercy. Much continued success, my brother. We'll see you down the road, okay?
Yeah, thank you. All right.
All right.
God bless.
The legendary Mr. Lenny Williams here in the zone of LOTL Radio. Remember, family, be sure to purchase the new single. It is available as we speak on iTunes, Google Play, and for those who like the live a little bit more adventurous, you can always head over to Amazon.com. Let's rewind and step back into the time machine at Doctor Who time machine with album Still in the Game, legendary Lenny Williams. Where Did Our Love Go? Here in the zone of LOTO Radio.
Time does fly. Hey, now when we girl, I tell you, yesterday I was doing a lot of thinking, and I was dreading coming down here today to this courthouse. But one while I got a little smile on my face, cause I was thinking about when we first met, the first time I ever saw you. And you was walking past me and I said, "Hey girl, you forgot something. Come here and let me comb your hair." And you looked at me and we started laughing, and then we went to sit down and had lunch, and next thing I knew we was getting married and we was raising kids and buying a house and just having a good old time. And then somehow I started drinking. I started hanging out with my friends, staying up all night, girl, gambling, not paying the bills. Oh, baby. And you told me, you said, "Lenny, you better straighten up, cause you're gonna lose your good thing." And somehow, I don't know what it was, maybe I just wasn't listening, girl, but I kept on doing wrong. Oh, baby. One day I came home and you was gone. Girl, I looked in the kitchen and all the pots and pans were gone. I looked in the closet and all your clothes were gone. And then I went to the kids' room and the computers and their books were gone, girl. And I sat down on the couch and put my head in my hands and I cried, baby.